Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Royal Watcher podcast. My name is Saad Salman. I'm the fan editor of the Royal Watcher, a royal contributor for L.com, and a royal commentator. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest.
Hello, Gabriel, and welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, Saad. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to have you on for a couple of weeks now, and then it doesn't work out for some reason, so...
I'm so sorry.
No, it's great that you're back for the big roundup of June, July, and half of August.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah, so there has been, despite us being, you know, still in lockdown stage, there has been quite a few big news stories. And let's discuss some of the happier ones first. We got a different trooping of the color. What did you think about that?
I thought it was quite touching, you know, because trooping the color in the UK is the big family event.
Yeah.
That time of the year when we see everyone at the balcony, and this year we really didn't see any of them. It was just the Queen. It was a powerful image, you know, to see her alone.
Yeah. But,
I mean, it's quite comprehensible why she was there alone.
Oh, yes. But I mean, given the circumstances, it was quite a magnificent ceremony, and we still got to see the Queen if no one else, which was quite a rare thing.
And I don't know if trooping the color had ever taken place at Windsor, because it's always...
No, I don't think so. It has been a London thing.
Yeah, so, I mean, some things are meant to change.
Yeah, especially during the pandemic. It was a good change, honestly, because... and I would like to see, because really it doesn't really seem like things will go back to normal for the next couple of years, so... It'll be fun to see what happens in the future, if like the family can join her, if it happens at Windsor or at Buckingham Palace, because they will continue the ceremony, but it's going to be fun to see how it changes.
Oh yeah, I mean, she will always follow guidance from the government, and I think the UK government recently told people who were shielding due to diseases and age that they could see their families again. Yeah. And I think she's actually hosting some of her family members at Balmoral for now.
Yes, so. I think that is the case. And I believe Princess Anne, who we're also going to talk about, her birthday celebration is also going to be at Balmoral this year.
Oh, yeah. I saw an interview with her son-in-law.
Yeah.
Mike Tyndall.
Yes, Mike Tyndall. Cool guy. Yeah, so, and actually... Right as we start recording, it's just turned to midnight in the UK. So Princess Anne is officially 70 today. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Princess Anne.
Yeah. And I mean... Many happy returns, yes. She has been like really a hardworking member of the royal family for over 50 years. And there's no stopping her. I mean, we'll probably see her for 30 more years working really hard as well.
Like I will bet my money that...
She will not retire.
My favorite thing about a royal birthday in the UK is when you get to see the court circular and there says, today is the anniversary of the birthday of someone, like the Duke of Cambridge or whatever. I always think that's so nice.
I know. They do try to acknowledge it some way or another. It's really nice.
And anniversary of the birthday, there is something so...
So kind of archaic about that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. And there's actually lots of big birthdays this month of all months. Like, there's the 60th birthday of the Queen of Malaysia. There's the 50th birthday of Queen Rania of Jordan coming up. And then there's also... Princess Beatrice. And then we had the 40th birthday of Lady Frederick Windsor, as well as the 40th birthday of Princess Tatiana of Greece.
Oh, yeah. August is quite a packed month.
And it's also her 10th anniversary this month. So.
Princess Tatiana?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about 10th anniversaries, we also got a series of lovely pictures from Sweden for Crown Princess Victoria's birthday. And 10th anniversary, I mean.
Oh, yeah. She was married on the 19th of June, the same date as her parents.
Yes. And as well as the Earl and Countess of Wessex.
They had the 10th birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, weren't they married in 1999?
they were married in 1999, and then King of Sweden married in 76, and Crown Prince of Victoria was married in 2010. And there's actually, on the same day in 99, there was the wedding of one of the Hanoverian princes as well.
I had no idea that the Earl and Countess of Wessex had gotten married on the 19th of June.
Really?
There are so many things on that day.
Yeah, I know, because I have to promote articles every year, and there's like three weddings, and it's too much wedding stuff, but I mean, there's still like some dates, like I think the 24th of May. This year, I was promoting five royal weddings on that day, in addition to so many other stuff. So
I mean, they could at least check with you if that
would be a nice thing. Yeah, I know. I have a calendar for a reason. They should check up. You know, don't put your wedding on that day.
I mean, that day is no good. Please. Yeah.
If you want your anniversary celebrated properly, then don't do your wedding on that day. No, but the pictures we got, they were really lovely. We got two tiaras and a couple of nice gowns.
Sorry, I couldn't listen to that.
Yes, I was saying that we got really lovely pictures of Crown Princess Victoria and Prince Daniel.
Oh, yeah, and it was nice to see her with her hair loose.
Yes. And I really liked her gowns as well, even not the old one, the gala one that you repeated, but like the new ones you wore, especially the one that was the one that without the tiara. That appearance I really liked.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't quite follow Victoria that way, but I know that when she gets it right, she really gets it right. But otherwise, it can go really wrong.
Yes.
But I'm happy she did. She got that right.
Yeah, no, she did. And she did look really lovely. And they seemed really happy. So,
really good job. Yeah, they're quite a nice couple.
Yeah.
And then, I like that. I like how he got a kidney transplant just before their marriage.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
It really is.
If something will prove his commitment, I think that getting surgery will do it.
Yeah. That's why their engagement was so long.
And I mean, they had, I think before they started dating, like 8 years before getting married.
Yeah, I believe in 2003 is when they became like public with it, so they're probably dating before
no that. One can ever say they rushed into things.
Yeah,
like ever.
That would be a perfect segue for another topic which we'll discuss later, but I first want to talk about Prince Joachim, and he got a post in as a military attaché in Paris right before he was due to start. He was hospitalized and he's doing much better now.
Oh, yes. He has been living in Paris for a year now, I think.
Yes. And
it's quite interesting to see him there, because his father was French. And he's got this connection with both Denmark and France. And he already had a role in the military. And then to see him invited to such a... From what I read, it was quite an interesting position.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that happened. And it was right after his youngest son from his first wedding's birthday.
Yeah.
And
Prince Louis was 18.
It must have been tough for the family.
Yeah.
But
and I believe they said Crown Prince Frederick went to visit him in France as well recently.
Oh, yes. And there was a lovely photo of the both of them having breakfast. And we are happy he's okay now.
Yeah, it was. It did seem quite a serious, like...
Oh, yes. A blood clot in the brain.
And it could have been fatal, but thankfully he's doing quite well now.
Oh, yes. And I think that is one of those treatments that has to happen right at the moment,
or
otherwise he wouldn't be okay right now. But I mean, he's fine, I hope, and may he continue that way.
Yeah. And another kind of sad thing, we saw King Juan Carlos of Spain going into exile.
Really,
his, like, we were talking about it before as well, like how his kind of life went full circle, because he was born in exile and then he came back.
And to think that he was the person who helped Spain transition back to democracy.
Yes.
He had a big role on that.
Such a sad downfall, really.
Oh, yeah. And to see like that, despite all that he did, he could still have gotten himself involved in that kind of stuff. It's sad. It's sad to see him going into self-imposed exile.
Yeah.
But
it is.
I agree with the premises that he's helping his son.
Yeah. By the way,
he became a monarch at a time that he did it so that he could help his dad. So. Yeah.
So really, that has become really kind of full circle in his life as well, going back into exile. But also, I think the way King Felipe and Queen Letizia have been working during the entire pandemic, like they've been out almost every single day. And
oh yeah, they have been on a tour of Spain.
Yes, and I think really that is going to be great for the monarchy because they are working, I think, out of all the royals in other countries. Like, we haven't seen the Dutch and the Belgians for months. And like, even the Danish royal family, we've seen them out and about a bit. But for the most part, almost all the other royal families in the world, except the Brits, are kind of on holiday or hidden. But the Spanish,
which is quite usual in August.
Especially this time of year. But I mean, but like the Spanish royal family, they've been working almost every single day for months now.
I mean, it's been some tough months for them.
Yeah.
And one thing that it always strikes me is that it doesn't appear to me that Juan Carlos has made his son's life easier in any way for quite a few years right now. Because, I mean, he's always getting himself involved in these kinds of things. And I would hope that someone at his age would have learned better. But
yeah, no, I think really it does, especially with public figures, the longer they stay in power, it just, eventually their downfall does come. And it's very rare that people can kind of weather it out and stay kind of respected in one position for so many years.
Oh yeah, I mean, the Queen of the UK has seen her fair share of scandals
throughout
her life.
But and I mean, you could argue that what the current period they're in is kind of no less than a scandal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I know. Like I have not necessarily mentioned the Duke and Duchess of Sussex on the podcast a lot before, and it's mostly because when I started this, I wasn't necessarily covering, they weren't really doing anything. And kind of I've always kind of been of the opinion that their actions, they did quite a lot of good in their time as royals, but they were quite misguided kind of for most of their public, like publicity and PR. But really their actions in the past month or so have been quite shocking. And quite damaging to themselves.
They did quite a lot of good, but I think that I don't know which one of them, didn't quite get what it was all about.
And, yes.
But I mean, they may have tried to overstep, or they may have overstepped their mark. And I mean, it is all very clear now for everyone to see. There is a book.
Yes, and that book in which they claim that they did not give interviews, but really I think everyone kind of knows at this point that they had a high level of involvement.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was said that they didn't gave interviews themselves, but that, I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like, their friends who might as well speak for them.
Yeah.
Said something, and it's like.
Uh-huh. And even in the author's notes of the books, they said that the authors have spoken to the couple when appropriate. So it is not a good look for them, kind of from any direction, really. And at this point, I think for both of them, I could not see them. I realistically transitioning back into the royal family, because they have been adamant to try to cut all ties and burn all bridges.
Oh yeah, and that was something that the queen, I think that she really attempted to make. It was that, make it clear that if they wanted back, they could go back into the institution as working royals and all that. But I think that that's water under the bridge right now, because they have gone really far from what they used to be in terms of institutional position, and now they are going political in the US, and that's something that is a no-go.
Really, I think that is going to be so problematic for them. And I think at this point, the royal family, they have so much kind of other stuff going on. And to have these two kind of behaving in this really privileged and childish way, it's just really shocking.
I mean, I'm just thanking everyone that they haven't yet made any comments on UK politics, because that would go, I mean...
Oh, yeah, that would be a huge
but disaster. The US is... I mean, I know she's like a US citizen, and she wasn't that... She didn't live in the UK for that long, but to have a member of the royal family saying that she will vote for candidate A or B or C...
Yes, no, that is... And even like... You don't even see like extended members of the royal family ever giving an opinion, like the children of the Kents or stuff like that.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I know she has every right to vote.
Yes, but if she votes, she should have kept it private and not kind of broadcast to the world. And her kind of opinions that she wasn't allowed to use her voice and stuff like that, that is, not, especially kind of saying, oh yeah, it's good to be back home, and that type of language really makes it seem like the UK wasn't necessarily home for them, and they just needed the taxpayer money, and now they're off into kind of living.
Exactly, it's like they locked her up in a room somewhere in the dungeons of the palace. She was living in a house that was renovated for more than £2 million.
Yes.
And I mean, people were saying that it was stuff, servants' quarters and all that stuff, but it was renovated. It wasn't the same
and place like that a past staff president had lived before. Like includes a grand duchess, like really how
exactly it was a royal residence before.
Yes, so like really I think that's one of the other things, like with their fan following who are really rabid in their criticism of everything. Like I think the fact that they have been reaching out to them and thanking them for their support, that will be an even bigger scandal for their like kind of position, because it means that they've been kind of promoting and encouraging strangers on the internet to attack
their
family and people on the media.
And we were talking before we started recording about conspiracy theories, and it's like, if they're thanking their fans for all their support and whatever, it's like they are basically saying, we support everything that you have to say about us.
Yes, about us and about other members of the family who really, like, they have, like, there's this one figure that they called to thank. And that person said horrible things about basically everyone in the royal family, from the children to the old senior citizens. So it was really beyond the pale, and the fact that they're calling that person to kind of thank them, and they couldn't necessarily even go down their timeline to check what type of person, that just shows that these people are supporting their action.
Well, yeah, right now they are just in for themselves and no one else, clearly. Yeah.
I know that, I think, but is I guess... one of those. Yes, please continue.
Oh, go on. I mean, if anyone will stand up for themselves, it might as well be themselves, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, what we've gotten is mixed messages from these two. And I mean, I did really admire the work that they did. But at this point, and I mean, people who are like ourselves, and like we know similar people who are royal watchers, and we know kind of the institution, and we really we respected them from their work and everything, but at this point we're at the stage where their antics are just so disappointing that we've kind of no longer really understand what they're doing and kind of respect their position, because it's just been so out of hand.
Exactly. And I don't want to diminish the work they did. Harry did an amazing, and he continues to do an amazing work with Invictus Games. It's like a wonderful cause to support. And I think he's still doing that. He announced next year's game, I believe, last month.
Yes.
And that's great. But, I mean, you are kind of going on a different path right now. And it's hard to see looking from an institutional perspective, how's that going to work in the long term?
Yes, and their whole kind of stance against the media and calling for honest journalism and stuff like that is just really problematic, because they want to be held accountable for their actions.
It can't be honest journalism if it's just your view of the matter. It has to be impartial. And
if honest journalism in their eyes is that book, then I think we're much better off without honest journalism.
Exactly. You can't have just a book that promotes just one side of the argument or whatever. It can't be journalism. It's just hearsay or gossip or...
Really, yes. You have to have a balanced kind of view, because you cannot necessarily just be like, especially the book was very one-sided. It was just, they said this and that is the truth. No other way, basically.
Oh, yeah. If you're not willing to hear the other side, then it's just not worth a read, really.
Yes.
And I don't mean to insult any of the authors. It's an honest work.
Yes, I mean,
they worked
really,
for it,
I've
but...
seen so many other kind of criticism of the book itself, but the people, like the reporters and stuff, that have been criticizing, they have said that it is a big feat for the authors to get that kind of exclusive access to
and
Harry and Meghan, and like it is like an exclusive thing for them as well.
Oh yeah, for journalism to be recognized that way, it's awesome. But I mean,
at what cost?
You can't possibly be impartial if you are just working with these two who want to put their view out to the world. It just doesn't work that way.
Yes, exactly.
At least you're doing journalism.
Yes, you need to be fair and balanced. Otherwise, it just won't work.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I told you that before, but to me, the essential difference is you don't have just to support honest journalism, but you have to support impartial journalism. Otherwise, it's not facts. It's just opinions, and you get lost. You don't get the facts.
And there is this big cultural difference as well, because really, it does seem like the couple want to kind of see themselves really from a U.S. celebrity standpoint, when in reality, they're still kind of liable to a British taxpayer.
Oh yeah, and I think at least from Meghan's side, she was a US celebrity. And I don't think that she ever got the hang of going from a US celebrity to a UK royal. And she may have gone like halfway, but I understand it's a tough transition to go through.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, I think she tried, and I understand it's not easy, but then to just give up and do whatever you want your own way, and to come up with announcements that no one knows about, it just doesn't work that way. And yeah, I mean, it was sad to see them leaving. It's still sad to see how they are behaving now.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, we can't necessarily see them having a happy future, because they seem really bitter, not just with the royal family, but with kind of the world in general. And I don't see them having a happy ending, and because they just seem to be locking themselves up and kind of trying to play the media, but we know in a sense that it will not necessarily work out that well unless they change their behavior.
Exactly, and I share that view. And I mean, I wish all the best.
Yes, exactly. We don't necessarily hold any malice towards them, but we really think that for public figures, especially those who are held accountable, they should have been moderating their behavior and kind of be held to a higher standard. And again, I'd say rather than the couple themselves, I blame their advisors and people kind of telling them that they can do kind of all these things much more than I do the couple themselves.
Exactly. I mean, especially if, as I said, Meghan was a US celebrity and not a UK royal, and if you have advisors who don't understand the other side of the other side of the argument from the institutional position as UK royals, as, you know, a court and whatever, and they don't get how it was supposed to work and how you should do it, and you just influence the couple to do whatever you think it would look nicer in the media, it simply won't work. Then you get this chaos where they are figures, like they are now between celebrities and royals and everything, and it's a mixed status. And what I think is that they forget that as royals they are public funded in some ways, that it's not compatible with the lifestyle they want to adopt. So
exactly,
it's and just
that's a great way to put it.
Oh yeah, it's just chaos everywhere.
It is chaos, really. I think especially that is the best way to put it.
Oh yeah, especially if you see Harry, who was protected all his life with public funded, you know, bodyguards, and he always had special branch police men around him, and to just go like, bye, I don't want this anymore. I don't want any of that. I don't want the commitments.
Well, they do still have their security, which is at least to our current kind of opinion, it is still taxpayer funded. So they haven't necessarily let go of that. And in a sense, nor should they, because they are kind of protected figures in a sense.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it's not exactly their decision.
Yes.
To keep it or not. It's a government decision. And worst of all, it's a political decision also for the UK government and for the Home Secretary there. And I mean, even from that perspective, their decision has been problematic.
It really has. Yeah.
I've seen, like, in the UK Parliament, some members raising concerns over their move from the UK. And I mean, it could still go so wrong in the future.
It really can, because like we mentioned before, like we don't necessarily see a happy end. And their antics over the past couple of weeks really show, I think one thing that we can be sure is that the couple are very unpredictable.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't ever say that Harry is behaving like his mother in some way, but if we've seen someone unpredictable before, it was his mother.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it happened in the way that it did to her. And I hope that never happens to Harry or Meghan or Archie, especially Archie, because, you know, he's a baby. He doesn't know what's happening. He didn't make any decisions.
No, what really I think the trajectory they're going on is very similar to his mother. And I'd really hope that they have learned from Princess Diana's mistakes, and that they do know kind of where the limits are, because at this point, it seems like what they're doing is only hurting themselves and not necessarily making them any happier or giving them kind of this inner peace that it seems like they really do desire.
Yeah. And I mean, their behavior kind of makes me think of, you know, Sarah, Duchess of York, right before her divorce, when she was still a member of their family, but I think she went commercial right before her divorce, and it's not something compatible, you know, commercial and royal family. That's a very, very tough line to cross.
Yes.
Either way.
No, it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of months. But I think I speak for both of us when I say that we necessarily don't want it to be an antic. We really do want them to kind of have a happy and peaceful life. Exactly. Kind of out of the public eye and kind of have their privacy. But the way it seems and the way things are going, it does not seem that will happen anytime soon.
Yeah, right now it seems like they want the best of both worlds. You can't say that you want to be out of the public eye and still like choose this whenever you want to be inside the public eye. It doesn't work that way. Whether either are in or out.
Exactly.
You can't have it both ways.
And that is really where the problem lies. And that is what they wanted with their exit, was to have it both ways. And
when I saw the original announcement that they intended to have like this partly public funded role. I'm sorry. They wanted to continue to perform royal engagements while being, you know, self-funded. And it doesn't work that way. Yes. You can't have both ways.
And I think they should have really kind of consulted the royal family. And rather than what I think that their biggest issue is, they love to do everything suddenly. They have no foresight. And exactly. They don't necessarily think about kind of the consequences. They just, let's do this now. And if they had just waited a bit before even releasing that statement and kind of figuring that stuff out, then exactly. I think they would be much happier today.
That statement was so clearly not going to work. Like, if anyone besides their private office or whoever was advising them at that point had seen that, anyone could say, this is wrong, this isn't going to work that way, you can't have it, think it through, come up with an alternative, and, I mean...
Yes, work through that.
You just can't do that.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that is really, I think that's the root of the problem, is that they do not seem to be the type of people who kind of think things through. They just, it's very instant gratification, and they want to do stuff now, or kind of, and that is why they kind of suffer even more, because of their hastiness.
Oh yeah, but I mean, they didn't do everything wrong. Like, I like to see that they announced that they will be paying back for the renovations at their house in the UK. I mean, I know they're trying, but...
Yes, no,
they're trying really... without knowing what to do exactly. That's the impression I get, anyway.
No, I like... One of the things that I felt like... They do try to do stuff differently, but the way they do it... Like, I saw that last year when they did all those things around Archie's birth, like his christening and his birth, and the fact that they were trying to just... It could have been handled so much better, because we did get pictures of him, and we kind of got everything we wanted, in a sense, like Royal Watchers and the press and stuff, but they managed it so awfully, and, we're going to keep it a secret and stuff, that created so much more controversy than that kind of thing even required. So, really, the way they manage stuff, that is a root...
Those were, like, such simple stuff.
Yeah.
They could have done that so much easier. They're making it even more complicated for themselves. Like, it's hurting themselves in a way that is completely unnecessary.
Exactly. And that has been kind of their actions from day one. So let's hope they kind of come to a realization, or they get some better advisors, or even they kind of find some peace, they take some time off to kind of understand what their future is going to be, because at this time it seems quite dire.
And you just said like they've been doing that from day one, and it just took me back to, I think it was 2016, 2017 when they started dating, and there was an announcement from Harry's office asking for privacy for Meghan, and it was quite unprecedented by then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been like that from the start when with hindsight.
With hindsight, yes. I mean, in a sense, this was kind of their behavior from the start, but I think we kind of expected that they would, in a sense, learn to control their or be controlled kind of by the monarchy or like by their courtiers, but that doesn't seem to have been the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you see like how they approach the roles, they weren't trying to work with the monarchy. They were trying to get the monarchy to work in the way they wanted.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't work. I mean, you can't just stand up and say, I didn't have a voice when I was inside it. It doesn't work like that. You can have a big voice. You can have an impact. You can cherish all these great causes.
You just really have to be there for the long term. You can't just show up and be like, I want everything to go my way. No, you have to work for a couple of years.
Exactly.
And you have
to understand that as a public funded, and I know that's debatable in the UK because there is that crown state thing and whatever, but people understand it to be a public funded institution. As a public funded institution, you have limits. You can't just go like everywhere and say whatever.
Yes, exactly.
But you can do so much good, so much.
Yeah. No, that is the whole point of it, is that they had so much promise, but it did not work out at all.
Yeah, I think
least for now. I mean, we still have the future and see where it goes with them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm very hopeful still.
Yes, me too. I mean, we do wish the best for them, and we kind of hope it does work out. And whatever way, kind of, and really, I think more than having a public role, we would much rather be that they be happy and kind of fulfilled in their lives, because at this time it seems like they do not have this like inner peace.
Oh yeah, but still, I don't think that it will ever work for Harry or whoever from the royal family.
Yes.
Especially those who have had public funded roles, as Harry had as an official working royal or whatever. It won't ever work to go commercial or to try to be a celebrity. It just doesn't go alongside. It's not like if you get some minor member of the family, or even Beatrice and Eugenie, who both have jobs.
Exactly.
It's not the same thing. He's meant to be the son of the future king, and it couldn't have gone well, in my opinion.
No, I think we do hope for the best for them, but the current situation does not look good. I think that's kind of a good place to end our episode today. It was just lovely having you on. Please let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
Oh, yeah. You can find me at G_Aquino1. And I hope, Saad, you get my Twitter on the description of the podcast.
Oh, yes. I'll have your Twitter everywhere. So don't worry. I'll have it on the podcast. I'll have it on all the platforms and also on social
media. Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
So no, it's just really lovely to have you, and I hope to have you back again soon.
Oh, I would be glad to.
Thank you.
If you'd like to be a guest or would like me to discuss a particular royal topic, please message me on social media or send me an email at royalwatcher@hotmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as The Royal Watcher, and also on royalwatcherblog.com, where I post daily articles. Please use #RoyalWatcherPodcast on social media and tell me what you want me to talk about in future episodes. The podcast is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all other major streaming platforms. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay at home.